This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Oh, I'll get to some NFL news in just a second here. Freddie Huebner was listening. Isn't a Harden step back a travel most of the time? And he's got video of Harden definitely traveling, stuttering his feet. Freddie probably, I'm going to go on a limb here. Freddie probably doesn't like James Harden too much. Just my guess.
What does he like less, James Harden or Jason Benetti?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't get that.
He said he was watching the Cubs game. Well, either way, he was watching the Cubs game and Benetti was on the call. Or he was listening to... Either way, Benetti was on the call for ESPN.
Oh, and it ruined his whole experience?
And he had enough. He's put it out on Twitter, so... I'm not spilling any beans. Freddie had already put it out there.
Did you,
I can't get away
Freddie
from
and
him.
Xander tomorrow?
Did you catch...
Saturday. I'm ahead
well, that's, that would, no, that's Freddie and Hanley.
Sunday. Yeah. Well, Sunday, excuse me. Yeah, Freddie and Hanley, and then Freddie and Xander. I'm way off.
Did you hear Jason Benetti when he hopped on Waddle and Sylvie? The first time since... We have acquired the rights to the White Sox.
I have not, no.
I actually have it. Let me play it for you, because this is how the interview started, and since you brought it up.
All right. Jason, how's your offseason going?
It's great. It's great, guys. This is my first time on the new flagship home of the White Sox, which is awesome. I just have to say, I hope this new partnership doesn't mean Fred Huebner can't hate me anymore. Because his subtweets make my day, and I want him to still be able to hate me.
That's pretty awesome. I love Benetti. I don't understand it. I mean, yeah, he thinks a little bit is too gimmicky and shticky and too inside, and maybe that happens from time to time with Stoney and Benetti. But Jason really
maybe Fred
he's smooth.
Maybe Fred and Jason are like Peter Griffin and the chicken.
Ooh, good call.
In the Family Guy. There's no explanation.
Right.
We don't know why they're rivals, but they are.
Yeah, that, for people who don't know the Family Guy, there's a running gag or a running theme on there where Peter and the chicken are always beating the crap out of each other. Not always, but the occasionally.
Whenever it happens.
Right. And you never know the genesis of the feud and why. Yeah, I don't know what it is. All right, there's some NFL, I don't want to say news, like a rumor kind of thing, but it is from Michael Silver.
Whoa. Give me the breaking news stuff.
It's not breaking news.
No, give me breaking news.
No, because that...
I want to hear it.
It's not breaking news.
I want to hear breaking news.
You're putting me in a very very awkward position here.
All right, if
you're
you don't want to do it.
For it.
You can
strike.
No,
it's not breaking news.
All right, go ahead. I mean, I love that, but
go ahead. It's interesting. Okay, Michael Silver, longtime NFL scribe, right? SI, NFL Network now. I saw this from Bleacher Report's Gridiron Twitter page. Somebody actually sent this to us via Mike Silver, that the Seahawks are not happy with the Russell Wilson situation. Mm-hmm. And that Silver is saying that Seattle is expected to listen to offers from the quarterback's four preferred teams. And we know our beloved Bears are one of the four. Dallas, Chicago, Las Vegas, New Orleans. That is according to one NFL insider anyway. Look, Yurko has been very adamant and passionate about this, saying, folks, it ain't happening this year, but it's setting up to happen next year.
Yes.
Because the dead money cap hit would be too punitive for the
Insurmountable.
Seahawks.
Insurmountable.
But then I've also seen stuff, and look, I don't get the cap. I really don't. I don't know. Yurko's better than I.
Listen,
like, Yurko can look at the breakdown and kind of. I look at it, and my head hurts. Like,
they can't avoid it. You understand? Seattle can't avoid it. If they move off of that player now, they can't avoid the dead money hit.
But why did I see one thing that said if this were to happen after June 1st?
Well, then it becomes that next year scenario. Then, where it's it would be a $21 million hit instead of they are saying $39 million, but it looks to be more punitive. But that's why I think it's impossible. If they wait till June 1st, then you extrapolate that money over another year, the signing bonus money.
So is it more likely that it could happen, like Seattle could bear to do it after June 1st?
Well, they can, yeah, they've got to trade them. And there's no way they can designate that as a post-June 1 release until they do it after June 1. So they would literally have to do it after June 1st. That's when you can consummate a trade. You can't say on April 25th,
we're going to
do this trade, and this is how we plan on doing it.
Yeah, okay. From SpotTrack, Yurko's right. Pre-June 1st, it's a $39 million dead cap hit. Post-June 1st, it would be $13 million for the Seahawks.
So why don't they wait until June 2nd to start fielding calls?
Well, maybe they... Here's the thing, though. If you're the Bears and you're interested, everything's going to be predicated on what you do in this draft.
Yeah, that's the thing. They can't wait to June 1st because they have a draft in free agency. I'm talking about, like, Seattle, right? If they're going to trade Russell Wilson, don't they need to trade him?
We've seen him release players and call it a June 1st trade, a release. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We've seen him do that, a June 1st release, and then somebody signs them saying it's a June 2nd signing. I don't know if you can do that with a trade.
No, you know what, though? I think, listen, if you're the Seahawks and you're considering trading him, I think you would probably say it's going to have to happen after June 1st. But if we can come to agreement on terms, like, because the thing is, the Bears are in a situation where if Russell Wilson, if they can come to a handshake agreement with the Seahawks that post June 1st, we'll make a trade. The thing is, for the Seahawks, what will suck is they don't get the first round picks this year. In this year's draft. Right. It would be the following season.
Exactly. Now, that's it. Because of all the stuff happening out there, that's why they think it's going to happen. They're going to entertain the calls.
Michael Silver is saying that Seattle is going to entertain phone calls from the four preferred trade
partners. Let's play the scenario out. The Bears make the trade. They get it happening. They don't trade. They trade nothing but draft choices. There's no bodies going the other direction. Because I don't know if they'd want any of our bodies. All right? You don't have to do dollar for dollar in the NFL. So it's all draft choices. Who gets cut? Who gets traded? Who gets released? Who gets cut?
To afford Russell Wilson.
To afford Russell Wilson.
And if you want to bring back Allen Robinson? I mean, you're not trading for Russell Wilson and then not having Allen Robinson here, are you?
No, you're having both of them.
I mean, it'd be crazy.
So now,
make your cuts on the defensive side of the ball because that's where you're going.
The Seahawks are in a precarious position. The acquiring team, though, same tweet from SpotTrack. They track all the contracts. They do a great job. The new team acquiring Russell Wilson in 2021, post June 1st, would be $19 million guaranteed. That's 24 for 2022 and $27 million for 2023. It's very manageable for the Bears, especially if, like, I don't know, like Nick Foles, if you could somehow involve him in the deal. I don't know. I'm just... Yeah. Throwing, spitballing with you guys here.
So now that's them taking Nick Foles back and adding to their angst on their
They may not want to do that. You're absolutely right.
That's why I don't think they'd be willing to do it. Yeah.
So you'd be cutting, I mean, you cut Foles, right?
You'd move Akeem Hicks. Names are starting to get out there.
Fuller and Hicks would be the names, right?
Restructure their deals, though, where you guarantee money up front and kick it down the road to keep guys like Hicks on the roster?
Play kick the can.
I'm sure you can.
Kick the can down the road like the Saints do.
But they've got to be willing to do that as an individual player.
This is like the best case scenario.
Akeem would be willing.
If the Bears could get this done and still have a first round pick that they can use on a tackle this year.
Yeah.
If the Seahawks want the cap savings, they cannot trade Russell Wilson before June 1st. So they can't take that first round pick.
This would be ideal.
This could be best case scenario for Ryan Pace.
This would be ideal.
Again, this is all a big giant if. What about a 4% chance of actually happening?
Hmm.
So I don't mind going over the scenario, but that's the 4% tops.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah, I was going to say, Yurko, telling me there's a chance.
One of 25, and I might be optimistic at 4%.
Oh, man.
Now, I'm talking about any trade being made with Russell Wilson this year.
I mean, like, Dallas seems unlikely. Meller made this point. You know, Dallas seems unlikely because they would want Dak back, but they don't own Dak rights. They don't own Dak's rights right now. I mean,
They'd franchise him again.
And then
you can move him.
Okay.
You can trade him, I believe. And then they've got the commitment then goes to Seattle, and then Seattle's got to negotiate the deal.
Can you do that?
Well, they could.
Or they agree to the contract before he goes over.
The problem is Dak has to agree to that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yes. Now, they could. Dak's got to sign the franchise tender. Then he's got to work out a deal with the Seahawks that's palatable for him because he's not going to sign the tender if he doesn't like what
it
the Seahawks.
It would all be worked out before he ever signed the franchise
tender. That's true.
Then he signs it and it kicks it all off.
But the Cowboys have to decide by Tuesday if they're franchising Dak, which assume they will.
I would think that they will. I would think that the Bears by Tuesday decide to put the franchise tag on Allen Robinson. I think it'd be crazy if the Bears don't put the tag on Allen Robinson.
They have to. If they don't sign him to a long-term deal, he has to.
Yeah, and at least it buys them time. If they franchise him, it buys them until July 15th, I believe, to work out a long-term deal. If Allen goes out and gets an offer from somebody else and a team loves him so much, the Bears get the picks. The Bears get the draft picks. It's a win-win. You know, ultimately, yes, Allen has said he doesn't want to play for it, but I think that's part of just negotiating in his stance right now. I think he probably would play for it next year and play very well like he has for the Bears. That's a win for the Bears. Like, there's no scenario in which franchising Allen Robinson doesn't make sense. There's right there, like, can we come up with one? There's not one. And normally it happens as we get right up to that deadline, right? You're like, when the 2-week window opens, you don't see the franchise tag slapped on these guys. It's going to happen this weekend, or it's going to happen Monday. That's when it'll happen.
I'd love to get Godwin in here too.
Godwin and Allen?
Oh,
yeah, I would like that
too. Old
now I start
dip.
To get excited.
Now the old Duble dip.
I might get excited with Nick Foles being the quarterback with those two here, to be honest, if they can find a way to keep him upright.
Yeah, if they can find him, keep him straight.
Mellor thinks I'm crazy. But I wouldn't. Listen, Godwin and Allen Robinson, you know, you gave defenses something to think about.
Nah, I've seen the Nick Foles story.
Well, I've seen it too. I mean, believe me. Well, nobody likes that story
too
much.
He did beat Tampa Bay, though.
Yeah, he did.
He did beat Tampa Bay. Yeah, remember, the Bears beat the Super Bowl champions, guys.
Tom
That's
Brady?
The one thing they're good.
We got that going for
us. And Hal's Hall, I bet you they already have that on a flag or a thing. Bucks and Tom Brady.
Do you think, because Ryan Pace has done a great job with the construction up at Hal's Hall, the new facilities, they love it. Do you think on the wall when you walk in, there's Tom Brady holding up four fingers like with the confused look on his face.
They got a hologram of that up front.
We beat Tampa.
They got a hologram
Brady.
Of Brady with four.
It's fourth down.
Yeah.
It's fourth down, right?
And then the score. The score goes by.
All right, so what do you think, Bears fan? Does that give you any hope? 312-332-3776, or maybe a little bit more hope. You know, you got one NFL insider saying Seattle's not happy with the way all this has come out in the media in the last couple of weeks with Russell Wilson, and that they will listen to offers. Doesn't mean they'll take them, but they'll listen to offers from his Ford Prefer destinations. And wouldn't you know it, the Bears are one of the four on Russell Wilson's list. 312-332-3776. Adrian checked in with us, by the way, Mellor, and said, Peter and the chicken fight does have a genesis. The chicken gave Peter an expired coupon. Ah, I did not know that.
So do you think Benetti gave Fred Huebner an expired coupon one day?
Must be it, yeah. I want my $2. Maybe it's, it all goes back to John Cusack. I don't know. I don't know Freddie's an old school guy.
Freddie thinks the way he thinks.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with it.
That's Freddie's way of thinking.
Freddie can have his thoughts. Listen, we don't have to love everybody all the time, guys.
Freddie needs Jimmy Pearsall and Harry Carey in the booth. You know, outside of that, he doesn't have much tolerance for it.
I'm going to be honest. I've thought about chucking you out the window once or twice over the last 12 years we've been together.
I'm sure you have. I mean,
if this Italian can fly.
Yeah, I'm sure. See how far he makes it.
You'd fight me, though. All you got to do is move, and I can't catch you.
312-332-ESPN, that's the number. Hey, what's Anthony Rizzo got planned post-playing days? The answer might surprise you. We'll play that for you coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _Chicago.
Hope everyone's having a great day. Watch us on Twitch today and every day. Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app and search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Lindsay Zarniak has a podcast called The Artist and the Athlete. She pairs a musical artist or some sort of an artist with an athlete. She did one with, this is a perfect tie-in, Eddie Vedder and Anthony Rizzo. Eddie Vedder's a lifelong diehard Cub fan. Anthony Rizzo and he are pretty close, obviously. There were a couple of good things in here, including Lindsay asking them the first album that they both purchased. And, geez, let's see. I'm guessing Eddie Vedder, I'm 44. I'm guessing Eddie Vedder is 55. Does that sound about right?
Well, he could be the good kid's age. That's what I'm
thinking. And good kid, you're 53?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe he is more. Maybe he is a little bit closer.
56.
56. I was
56.
Close.
You're on it.
Eddie's 56.
My age.
Anthony Rizzo's probably about 32.
Okay, I'll tell you what his first album is. I'll guess it right here, right now.
You'll never guess it, but go ahead.
Boston.
That's a great guess, actually.
Boston, Boston.
Here, let's play it. This is the artist and the athlete. This is Lindsay Zarniak's podcast with Rizzo and Vetter. First album they purchased.
Your first CD or album that you purchased. Riz.
Oh, boy. Now? That's what I call one? The original Now, maybe?
Oh. Whoa.
Oh, that's a compilation. Wow.
Maybe Jay-Z, the Black album, maybe? I had to get my parents' approval for that one. I don't know.
Eddie, how about you?
Well, it certainly wasn't a CD.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was 1971, and there was an album called Got to Be There by Michael Jackson. It was a solo one, and it was $4 at the hardware store.
Boston was a good guest. Michael Jackson's solo album from 1971 that, quite frankly, I've never heard
Got
of.
Got to Be There.
Got to Be There. Who buys albums at a hardware store?
Well, then
I never knew that they even sold them.
You know, there used to be a cassette tapes at the gas station.
That's
and
true.
8-tracks.
That's a good point.
You weren't alive for 8-tracks, I don't think.
Not really. Like, I was, but I remember cassette tapes. Like, yeah. They were out of the cars by the time I was old enough to remember. You know, you heard about it.
Yeah.
But they were out of cars. Everything was cassette. Like, I remember in my dad's station wagon or my mom's Oldsmobile, it was all cassette tape.
So answer the question.
That's a good point, though, that they did sell cassettes at gas stations. I never heard of it at a hardware store.
They had whatever they could.
Impulse buy. Absolutely.
They buy it for $1. They sell it for $4. That's a chance to make money on it. What do they care?
Yeah, that's true. I just he for $4 in 1971 for an album. I think my first CD that I ever bought actually was probably a cassette tape, even before a CD. My first album that I bought with my own money, it was one of two. It was either Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet, or it was Appetite for Destruction. And like Anthony Rizzo, I think I had to have my mom buy Appetite for Destruction because it probably had the parental warning and I wasn't old enough. And had she known, thank God, like social media didn't exist and she couldn't research it. Had she known there was like a naked girl inside, she never would have bought it for me. But I think I convinced my mom to buy me Appetite for Destruction. It's one of those two.
All right. So I didn't buy one when I first started. Remember the old Columbia House?
Yeah, where you,
for a penny, you got 13.
Yes.
So for a penny, we got 13. It was like Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Wow, man, yeah,
that's great. It was early Neil Diamond, whatever Neil Diamond was producing in 1975. You know, some Neil Diamond, Chicago.
Yes.
You know, Chicago.
In your era? Huge.
Yeah, yes. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff we were getting, you know.
Huge.
And you got 13 of them, and then they kept sending you, hey, you've got to buy them at regular price, and we were hiding from the mailman. Nope. I don't know. Mom, I don't know. You know, they'd call my mom and dad, Johnny, it says VO $6.99.
Right,
I looked at my mom. Mom, I've got no idea what to hear. Let me take care of it. Tear it up and throw it right in the garbage.
That's all. So they were doing back then the same thing they do now, where they give you, oh, here's Apple TV for $3.99, and then in 6 months they're going to raise the price to $7.
Only now they got a way of tracking you, and they make you put a credit card
that's
or
true.
Bank account number down.
I just got the notification yesterday. Your Disney Plus account will be going up to $7.99 on March 15th, and I'm like,
I thought it was free if you had Verizon.
It's only free for the first year.
Oh.
After the first year, it was $6.99. Now it's going up to $7.99.
They get their claws in you, and that's it. You can't. You try canceling Disney Plus on the kids. Have fun.
Oh, I know. There's no way we can cancel it. Not that I don't want to. Like, Mandalorian, I love. And I don't know when they're going to do a third season. I think it's going to be a while. I don't know if you guys have gotten into Mandalorian. My son, he likes Star Wars well enough, and we've watched almost all the movies together, but we watched Mandalorian together, and he really liked it. The end of the second season was fabulous. Jon Favreau does it. York, you're probably not into it. Did you watch any of it?
I don't have Apple.
No, that's on Disney Plus. You wouldn't have Disney Plus.
I don't have Disney Plus.
Although
my kids are older.
They like the Marvel movies,
though.
I think my daughter
has it, you know, but she's over at the ex-roommate's place. So
The Mandalorian is so good.
You are a huge nerd.
I love it. The end. I am a huge nerd. I'm telling you right now, like, I'm a huge nerd. And I won't ruin it for everybody that hasn't caught up on season 2. But for the people that have, and they know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The huge nerd came out in all of us if you like Star Wars. I mean, I almost wet myself at the end of season two of The Mandalorian.
I am not shocked. I am not
Miller, have you watched it?
No, I again,
I know
you are a huge nerd.
It's so good.
I have Netflix, and so I've never watched Netflix. I have it because my kids have it. They use it on their phones.
You never watched Netflix?
For what? I got enough on the regular TV. Do you know how dedicated I am to watching sports?
I will.
Hold on. I said it with a straight face. I almost pulled it off. No, I mean, there's only so much time to watch so much.
Do me a favor.
Yes.
Just do me a favor.
Okay? I watched Midway for the 15th time.
I love
Midway.
Have I ever asked a favor of you?
No, you have usually not asked the favor. Usually you're lecturing me.
I don't ask much of you, okay?
What do you want him to watch?
Watch the first episode of Ozark.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, no, I have then, but I didn't watch it at my house.
I've seen Ozark.
Okay. You've seen Ozark.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen Ozark, but I've never watched it. I don't have it at my house. My kids have it. I don't take time out. I happen to watch that with somebody else.
Ozark is awesome.
Watch the whole thing with Ozark. Kid, Carmen and I talked about it.
Yeah.
When the body hits the ground right here down the street, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's a strong show.
You have to let me share because you played the first album you ever purchased.
Yes, please.
I think I have an interesting combo here. So, like Yerk, it wasn't a first time. The first time I received a CD was as a gift. I probably was in fifth grade for Christmas. I asked for a couple of CDs back in 1991, I believe it was.
CDs were just coming out, baby. Yeah.
My mom purchased me the dynamic duo of
Milli Vanilli.
MC Hammer, Please Don't Hurt Him, along with Vanilla Ice.
Oh,
that is a hell of a combo.
That is a hell of a combo.
The first one I ever purchased, I think, came a year or two later that myself, I went on to, I think my taste got a little bit better. I went on and bought Snoop Doggy Dogg's Doggy Style.
Oh, that did get better.
Yeah.
So you got wise.
Musical taste improved a little bit.
I think the first CD I ever bought was Milli Vanilli, Blame It on the Rain. I don't even know if that was the album. That was the hit song that they,
went
of course,
single, huh?
That they lip sunk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Blame It on the Rain. Yeah. Merck, what was your first album?
I can't remember. Probably the Doors or the Stones or the Who or something like that. But I love, that's all I used to, school every day, I would wear a Doors shirt.
Look at
a
you.
Who shirt. I mean, no I was just, I was classic rock, man.
Really?
Classic
what about rock. JR? JR's kind of the music head around here. Where's JR Strauss?
Oh, he's coming in.
Go in the studio, JR. Go in the studio.
You talk about wetting yourself. Like, this conversation makes JR wet himself.
Yes.
I'm wetting myself at the end of Mandalorian. And then I want to play for you what Adam Anthony Rizzo wants to do when he's done playing. What was your first? I'm going to guess. Like, how old are you, JR?
Oh, man. That's like the first time I've actually had to answer this question. I'm 50.
50.
Yeah, you're my age. You're my wheelhouse.
Let me guess here.
You're probably seven. 7 years old, 1977.
As a hint, I have a
REO Speedwagon.
Oh, that was a good guess. I have a friend who had an older brother.
Journey.
And you know those smells that are coming from down the hall? I had a friend who was really athletic. Yeah. Me, not so much. But then I wandered down the hall, and I noticed some music coming, and I was like, what is that
Breakfast
sound?
In America.
It was Ozzy Osbourne and Randy Rhoads on the live album. Yeah. Amazing. But my first album was actually Styx, Paradise Theater.
There you go.
Styx. What's the Dennis DeYoung and then the brother,
Tommy
right?
Shaw,
wasn't the
Chuck
brother
Panazzo,
Tommy
John
Shaw?
Panazzo.
Yeah. Wow.
Chuck
Styx.
And John Panazzo.
Good work, JR. All right, there you go. JR's with Styx. We got a pretty good range there. Here's Rizzo on Lindsay Zarniak's podcast, The Artist and the Athlete. This is one he did with Eddie Vedder. What is he going to do? I think her question's in here. What's he going to do when he's done playing?
Rizzo, you play piano, right?
I mean, I play like four songs for like 20 seconds each that make me sound like I play the piano, but it's something that I want to take up definitely when I'm done playing. It's just instruments. I wish I could be more musically. My dad could play pretty much anything and just pick it up and
really?
Just hear the. He's got the note and he could hear it and then just start playing. And it's something he didn't pass down to my brother and I. We're pissed about it.
Eddie,
you'll have time.
Yeah.
Take your time.
I love Vedder's voice so much. I think a lot of grown-ups, you know, you look back and you go, man, I wish I would have played an instrument. I wish I could play piano. I really do. My daughter has started, and I want her to stick with it so badly, and she seems to like it well enough. And, like, learn to play. Learn to play an instrument. Learn to play piano. Start with piano. You could play anything. I wish I could play guitar, something. It'd be so, you know, back, especially when I was like, when I was young, before I was married. I mean, you want to talk about a way to, you know,
meet the ladies?
Yeah, let me play guitar for you.
If you can't play guitar, get yourself a puppy.
That's what Sylvie did.
Bring the dog out.
You got Cosmo.
Everybody wants to pet him. You got girls. Back then, they didn't have yoga pants on, but you got girls bending over right in front of you.
Sylvie did do that. He said, "Well, I can't play guitar or the drums or piano, so I'll go get Cosmo." Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you could sing a song, play it, write a song, play something.
Sing a ballad.
My God.
Oh, my heavens.
I can't play anything. I'm tone deaf. I can't
melt
play
some hearts.
Can't play a damn thing. Coming up next, we will play McKnight at the Movies. Plus, I've got trivia for the guys. It's baseball and drinking related. That's always fun. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Oh, boy. We got them rolling in on Twitter now. Shout at the Devil by Motley Crue. Like, you know, people talking about their first album they remember buying.
Shout out
Green Day. Jack Fu to Return.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. They're all.
What else you got, Carmen?
They're all rolling in.
What else you have?
Let's see. Where's another one here?
Carmen, you've got so much. So many mentions.
Yeah, well,
your
I'm trying to sort through
cornering the market, my friend.
Something in here that our buddy Rob sent us about Pat McAfee's latest
wrestling
podcast
stuff?
That could be Bears Deshaun Watson related. We'll take a listen to that and see if it's worth a spin. It's Carmen and Yurko. So we got a new Thursday segment about this time every day. You know, Connor McKnight is part of our crew now and part of all the White Sox broadcasts. And Connor's got experience doing play-by-play. He's going to be doing pre and post for the Sox. But Len will do 25 TV games this year. So Connor's doing a lot of games with DJ here on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. He's going to do a whole bunch, 25 of the games Connor will do. So he's skilled at play-by-play. We debuted this last week to great success, and we're going to keep it continue right now.
McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
So Connor is not like just reading lines. I mean, he's doing the play-by-play, and it's your job to figure out the movie from which Connor is working. Okay,
yes.
That's the idea here.
Play by play of the movie.
Play
what
a little
you
bit
see on
let's,
the screen.
Let's see what he's done for us this week. Here we
some
go.
Sort of gathering going on in the backyard here of a suburban home. A man wearing a bathrobe and clown hair has found a weapon out of the back of a cart. Seems to be approached by some sort of carny from the 1980s, and the two men are discussing the party going on in the background, perhaps the weapon at hand, or maybe even the pony. That is in the back of this cart, just seeing the pony
come
on
now. I got one of two movies.
I got it. And I got this one a little quicker than I got last week's. Yeah. First correct caller, by the way, wins the Geno's East gift card, 312-332-3776. Here, let's listen to a little more.
The clown-haired man has armed the weapon, it seems, and is getting some sort of description as to how to handle or not. Oh, he's been hit in the neck. He has been hit in the neck. He's taken a projectile.
First thought.
You got it.
With yellow feathering on the back straight into the neck. The carny is concerned but also somewhat amazed. The clown-haired man is clearly feeling the effects of this right away. He's dazed already. Not really sure what's going on. The carny seems very amazed that he's still standing, this 6'5" clown-haired man wearing a bathrobe, and now he's found the dart in his own neck.
I think we got it now. Was it your first reaction?
It was my first one, and then I had a second one that, you know, just in case. But
do we need one more little part here? I think we got a winner. I think we already have. The lines have lit up.
He seems, and this is amazing, folks, not alarmed by its presence. More stunned that it's there in the first place. Now, seemingly relaxing into and enjoying the effects of this dart. This has to be dangerous for the clown-haired man in the bathrobe. The carny seems to be saying as much, and we can only wait and wonder what the end of this story will be. For the man with a dart in his neck.
Connor's got a knack for this, man. Yeah. I'll never forget watching that movie and specifically that scene. I was with one of my best friends, Chris Bojan. We went and watched that movie in the theater. And I can still remember that all these years later, like almost falling off the chair in the movie theater laughing so hard at that scene. The first time you see it, it is so memorable and so unbelievable. And I believe Joe in Aurora was the first correct caller. He was quick on the draw. Joe, what's the movie?
Old School.
It is Old School, my man. And it's one of the best scenes in the movie. Joe, you just won the gift card to Geno's. All right, sit tight. Merkin's going to get all your info.
Best scenes in the movie?
I said it's one of. It's one of the best scenes in the movie.
Cool. Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Oh! Yes!
Yes.
That's awesome. What? You just took one in the jugular, man. Whoa. Yes! Oh my god. Oh my god, I did. Is this bad? Is this bad? You should pull that out. That shit is not cool.
Not cool.
Wait. Wait.
Pull what out?
Pull what out? The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck. You're crazy. You're crazy.
That scene, man. I'm telling you.
You're crazy. I like you.
I like
you. But you're crazy.
He's stammering to the pool. He knocks the little kid out of the way. Yeah. He goes, falling. It is so wonderful.
Well, the opening scene of the movie, where he comes home trying to surprise his wife.
Oh, God.
And there's some nocturnal activities with the neighbor couple.
Juliette Lewis, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that starts it off. Oh. When he finds out that the young girl from the party that he slept with is his boss's daughter.
So good.
I mean, that's another classic sign where she's just kind of, oh, I'm sorry. You know?
It's as good as any.
My boy Blue.
Yes.
When they go to pick up the guys that are part of the fraternity, it's absolutely fantastic.
Who's this guy? He looks like he's 100 years old.
That's Blue. Yeah, the opening scene, the payoff.
Yeah.
The doorbell.
It's great.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Yeah. That turned into I'm here for the dangbang on Waddle and Sylvia, remember?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, the dang bang. Yeah, it's that's good. Well done again by Connor. He will continue to do that with
McKnight
us. We'll have some fun.
At the movies.
McKnight at the movies each and every
sponsored
Thursday.
By Overly Buttery and Oiled Popcorn.
I have, I'm going to save this little piece of trivia I have for you guys for
about
the next 5 minutes.
I'm ready.
We'll do it before we're out of here at noon. It's baseball and beer related, so that's always fun. There was a video, I wanted to mention this to Yurko yesterday, and we didn't get to it, but I thought I just wanted to bring it up because Merck found this on TMZ Sports, and it's on the internet in different places now.
It's a video.
It's a video of Alvin Kamara snowboarding.
Yes, shredding.
In Montana.
Shredding.
And I mean, this guy is flying down the mountain.
Yes, he was.
Now, I guess he's never snowboarded, which is kind of amazing. I mean, he's a great athlete, I guess, but his balance is good.
Oh, boy.
He is flying down this mountain.
Can I tell you, if you have good balance, but you've never snowboarded before, it's not hard. Right. It's not hard to go fast if you have good balance.
Right.
Boy, he's
the problem is, here, like I'm telling you, as someone who snowboards frequently, like if you go too fast and you're a beginner, you're gonna bite it. And he's going to separate a shoulder.
Yes. He did have a wipeout. It wasn't too bad. He didn't appear injured at all. But, I mean, if you're the Saints.
Yeah, he carved in, and then eventually there was nowhere to go but down.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you from experience, that's a bad thing to hop on and start doing fast.
Like, I always wonder about what the contracts say, too. And, like, Yurk, what did your contract say when you signed it? Could you snowboard or ski?
No, it was a standard NFL contract. It advised you not to do it. If you did get hurt doing these activities, your contract's null and void.
Cool.
They don't have to pay you. You got a contract for that year, they don't have to pay you. They don't lose your rights. You don't become a free agent.
No.
But you don't get paid.
So you told us once you were like Alberto Tamba.
Yeah, February 14th, 1994 was Valentine's Day.
You remember the day.
Decided to go to Iron Mountain, Michigan.
Oh, up by Mooch's,
right? Yeah, by Mooch and by Tom Izzo, we went up there. They got a ski jump up there. They got it all. Moguls.
So you were young in your career.
Yeah, I was a young man. I was going to be 27. I was 26 going on 27.
You said it was the only
never
time.
Never skied in my life, ever.
And it was the only time you ever did it?
I couldn't go down to Bunny Hill at the beginning of the day. I couldn't make it down to Bunny Hill. Then I'm on the tow rope trying to get back up the Bunny Hill.
And the tow rope
and my
was
hands
screaming.
Are being shredded.
Yeah.
My hands are shredding. Yeah, the tow rope definitely was crying.
Did you never do it again because you were afraid of hurting yourself?
No, so I went back up to Bunny Hill. Then if you've never skied before, good luck getting on the, what's that?
The chairlift.
The ski lift.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Takes a little practice.
You got to shimmy over. You got to get in position, and you got to sit. You got to trust this thing to catch you, swing you without dumping you, right? So I get on that. By the end of the day in Iron Mountain, when the sun was setting and things turned ice, it was snowy, it was slushy, and then things start turning the ice when the sun starts to set. I came down what they would call a black diamond in Iron Mountain, Iron Mountain, Michigan.
It's still pretty serious.
Which is not a black diamond if you're out in Aspen, Colorado at snowmass. I promise you that, my friend. Double black, double trees out there.
Yeah, those are tough.
Good luck.
Yeah.
But this is what they call the black diamond. And I was sashaying down the slopes.
Alberto Tomba.
And maybe it was a precursor to what Ivica Kostelic and the brother provided for Croatia with gold medals in the Winter Olympics, the first of their kind. But as I was sashaying down, I heard cowbells in the distance and cries of Tomba, 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 Tomba as I came down the hill.
Tomba.
The only time I ever skied, I really never, ever want to go skiing. I was in great shape. My legs were phenomenally strong. I think that made life a lot easier.
Yeah.
My legs would break in three. Like toothpicks.
Now,
like toothpicks. I would hear the grinding of bone on bone between my knees, and it would echo throughout the valley. No way in hell I'm doing it now. I ice skate. I can ice skate. I enjoy it. It doesn't hurt my knees. I have fun.
Something tells me Sean Payton got on the phone and went like, Alvin,
please. I'll give you some insight, though. He wasn't going fast.
That looked fast.
You have not been snowboarding then.
I've never snowboarded.
That was beginner speed. He was not reckless at all.
All right.
I'm not saying he's reckless, but I mean, just don't do it. Don't do it.
No, no. That's,
you got too much to lose.
No snowmobiling, water skiing.
When you said it, I thought he was going to be like, you know, just letting it rip down the mountain. I'm telling you, that's beginner. He was okay.
I guess, what do I know? To me, it looked pretty fast. I'm like, are you kidding?
I thought he was going 100 miles an hour.
That's Alvin Kamara going down some mountain in Montana. When we come back. Beer and baseball. It's Carmen and Yurko. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what's up? It's Randy Merkin. From the opening tip to the final buzzer, there are so many ways to bet the NBA on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app, the official sportsbook of the Chicago Bulls and an authorized gaming operator of the NBA. I like FanDuel Sportsbook since they got a simple and secure app, offer live betting on games, provide promotions and odds boost every day, and have exclusive bet types such as same-game parlays, where you can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. What a great idea. And once you win, they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. If you sign up today, FanDuel will let you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. They'll give you up to $1,000 back if you don't win. And all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. Tonight, it's the Raptors-Celtics. I like Jaylen Brown over the point total and the Celtics in the first quarter. Just do me a favor, would you please? When you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with the promo code Merck so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Merck, M-E-R-K. Must be 21 years or older and present in Illinois. First online real money wager. Only site credit is non-withdrawable. Expires in 14 days. Same game parlay max. Refund is $25. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Big happy birthday shout out, Yurko, to our guy. The one, the only, Jesse Rogers.
Oh.
Jesse's birthday today.
And I call him 100 innings. He's my buddy.
There you go. 100 inning Jesse Rogers. And Jesse sent me a heads up, and I was appreciative of it this morning, on something he found from, this was a survey conducted by, let's see, it's NJOnlineGambling.com. I'm going to assume that's New Jersey GamblingOnline.com.
Yes, I would too. I would guess that.
Here's the methodology for this survey they did, okay, Yurk? From Jan 27th to Feb 17 of this year. They surveyed 2,631 self-reporting Major League Baseball fans who were over the age of 21 from all around the country. Fans were asked how many alcoholic beverages they typically consume while watching a baseball game, as well as how much they typically spend on alcoholic beverages while watching a baseball game. 58% of respondents were male, 42% were female. The average age of respondents was 36 years old. 1 through 30. Tell me, the number one team, according to this survey, average drinks per game, which fan base?
St. Louis.
St. Louis is a great guess. And wouldn't you know it, St. Louis is. I'm looking for them on the list. Hold on. They are. I know they're in the top 10. At least I thought they were. Where's St. Louis? St. Louis is 26th. Wow.
Oh boy, not St. Louis.
Stunned by that.
King of Beers is from there. I thought that would be
26th.
Easy. All right. We'll go to big drinking states. I'll go to Milwaukee.
10th. Milwaukee Brewers claim to be 10th with 3.5 on average. For an average price, an average cost, you know, for what they drink of $35. Seems about right.
I can't believe I don't have that correct. How about Colorado?
Colorado is 6th. You're getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking of all the beer places. I like what you're doing.
Yeah, it's got a methodology.
I like what you're doing.
There.
You just nailed two of the top 10 by using that methodology. You guys have any ideas over there?
Any guesses over on that side of the farm?
Both JR and I thought the Brewers was a strong guess initially.
They're 10th. Yeah. Rockies are 6th.
All right, I'll bite. Chicago.
Chicago White Sox, numero uno.
How about that?
4.2 average drinks per game. Average spent on alcohol, $46. We're already number one in something.
Something.
And we're going to be number one when we win the World Series at the end of the year.
I thought what I thought, then I said, Carm's asking for a reason. Where are the Cubs?
Cubs are like middle of the pack, almost dead at middle of the pack. 14th.
Yeah.
So the here's your top 10.
Very average.
White Sox, 1. Braves, 2. That surprised me.
I was going to guess Braves.
Really?
I don't know why either. Yeah.
Cincinnati. You got it. I figured Cincinnati. You know, we got a, you know, Waddle's brother maybe alone over at the stadium. Cincinnati Reds, number 3. Cleveland, 4. Padres, 5. I keep drinking and having good times out there now. Rockies, I mentioned 6. Nationals, 7. Orioles, 8. They're doing a lot of drinking in the Beltway. Tigers, 9. Brewers, 10. There's your top 10. Dead last, and I don't know if I believe it, but this is how they responded. The Phillies. They're drunken animals. The Philadelphia Phillies, only 2.4 drinks per game. They were dead last. Oakland, second.
What are the? I wonder what the prices are. Stadiums.
Not only that, but Philly fans might be getting loaded up in the parking lots.
Yeah, that's true.
Their parking lots are actually very drinker friendly.
There you go.
And their stadium complexes are very near each other.
I bet you that's.
Do you know they did that? They did fans most likely to have missed some or all of the game due to drinking too much. Oh, no, here. This is the one. Fans most likely to drink before the game starts, Yerk. The White Sox are 3 because they do a lot of tailgating.
Right.
But Philly's not in the top 10.
No, either. My philosophy's wrong then.
Yeah, I think the Phillies fans are afraid to admit how much they drink. I don't know. I don't know how accurate this is. You know, you knew the White Sox would be up
Red
there because it's a big tailgate.
What about Red Sox pre-gaming?
No, Red Sox aren't in the top 10 either one of
there's,
those either.
There's no place to really. Well, the bars right around
yeah,
there.
There's no tailgate.
You have it. There's no.
Yeah,
really
I guess, like, what about Cubs? Wrigleyville.
Yeah, but again, no, it's, you know, like.
I mean, they're charging.
Because sometimes they're not going to
ballpark
the,
prices.
And sometimes
too.
They're not going to the game. They're just there to drink. Like at Comiskey, Comiskey. On the south side, at the rate, you know, you're there to see the game. You're tailgating early. And so it's much more conducive to the places that have a lot of parking.
I'll have to ask Zillow, our good friend from the stretch.
Love Zillow.
I'm going to have to ask him, do they charge ballpark prices in there?
I mean, why wouldn't you, right?
I mean, we're always drinking for free, Carmen.
No, I know.
I mean, when we're at the stretch.
Well, not always, but.
My point is, I mean, are they charging $12 for a beer?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't know.
Yeah. We say thank you to Brad Underwood for joining us today. It was great to talk to the Fighting Illini head coach. If you missed the interview or any of the great show or any show, make sure you check everything out on the podcast.
That's right.
Just download the ESPN Chicago app and you can catch up on all the shows. And all the interviews. Greeny's coming up next. Waddle and Sylvie up at 2 today. And then Black and Abdallah return tonight at 6 o'clock. Great job, as always, by our wonderful production crew. J.R. Strauss, Midway Jeff Meller, and Randall Tex Merkin, who's buying sandwiches from Bari
That's right.
tomorrow.
That's right.
He lost the bet. We get free lunch tomorrow, Merk. You the man.
I thought you guys forgot about that.
No, we're not going to forget. Not at all. We talked earlier about a new report from Mike Silver from the NFL Network. He's saying Seattle is upset with Russell Wilson and they will entertain trade offers from his 4 preferred destinations. It's got us so excited. Oh, my God. I don't know what I'm going to do. But today, Lloyd Christmas and Mary Swanson have the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to.
Today's final word on Carmen and Yuriko.
What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like one out of a million.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!